You're listening to Creative Thursday, episode number 203. Welcome to Creative Thursday with Marisa Ann Cummings. We're talking all things life, business, and creativity intended to inspire and empower you wherever you are on your creative journey, both personally and professionally. Thank you for listening. Hi, hello, it's Marisa here, and technically Maymay, if you hear cat purring in the background. I don't think it covers. She seems to want to sit with me this week on all of our live videos and our podcast. Do you have a message you want to share? A message of well-being and snuggling? She's being a lap cat today, and I love her. I love her for it. Anyway, Maymay is here with me, and I am so excited to share my guest with you today, Sarah Kelly. Oh my goodness. I first met Sarah online in the fishbowl class from 2008. We figured this out, and she recently joined us in the Expansive Artist, and it was right when the pandemic struck. And Sarah is an art teacher in school working with kids. And her entire life, as I know is the case for many, many of you, many of us, has just shifted entirely. And rather than retreat and just not know what next steps to take, Sarah's story and the choices that she made and the determination with which she made them is just incredibly inspiring. And I actually also had the opportunity, just having this conversation with her, to learn so much more of her backstory and what she's gone through to get here, and not only to a new level of success that she just months ago didn't even really know was possible for her. And not only that, but the plans that she has for the future with the work that she's doing. I'm just so moved. And I know I just know you will be too. I know you will be too. At this time, during this week, I know this will be a breath of fresh air for you. And stay focused on possibilities and opportunities and all the positive that is also happening during this time, because it can be a moment for you to make a new choice and to be led in a direction that can be incredibly fulfilling and change your life in the best possible way. And I know in Sarah's case, her story is just the beginning, and we can't wait to see where this will lead for her. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation with Sarah Kelly. All right, Sarah Kelly, here we go. Podcast episode in play. Is this your first podcast episode, by the way?
Yes.
Welcome. I hope that we make this fun for you. I'm so excited to have you. I'm so excited to have you with us today. And I still can't believe that we first connected online. Is it in 2008 or 2009? And we'll come back to that story, but it's just amazing that we're sitting here today and what you are accomplishing now. I'm very inspired. Very inspired by all your bravery and action that you are taking. So I often put a little bit of backstory more at the beginning, and I would love it if you would share your story of how you have, at this moment — we're recording this in September of 2020, you're going through really big transformation and transitions in your life, from school teaching in a traditional format to combining your art and your teaching abilities into a new offering as well. So if you'd like to tell us just a little bit of how this came to be to kick us off in the episode, that would be wonderful.
Okay. So how it all started was, originally I was just teaching art, kindergarten through sixth grade. And that was the plan. I was just going to continue teaching art, and I was going to add some supplemental stuff just to make a little bit of extra money on the side. But it was never really the goal to make a lot, just a little extra spending money. But then when COVID-19 hit, I got cut from my teaching job early, and I didn't know what that was going to look like.
This is when you were still teaching in person. When you
So I was teaching in person and couldn't teach in person. So they actually, it was really weird how that came about. They wanted me to go on video, and I was ready to quit my teaching job because I didn't know how to do video, and I had never even recorded like a 30-second video. So I had no clue how to do any of that stuff. And it was really nerve-wracking to be asked to do all these things that you don't know how to do and transition that way. And it was actually, I'm trying to think of what it was. I was on something with you, and
we did a creative gathering for the Expansive Artists. And I remember you popped onto your iPad. And look at you now, Sarah. We couldn't get your audio to work.
Never used Zoom. So my son actually had to come in, and he had to push all the buttons and get it going. And then he was like, it's too late, Mom. You can't have audio because you didn't, I guess, didn't sign in at the time. Now I teach other people how to use it. So that's just, if the crazy thing is, back in April, I didn't know how to use any of this. And now I'm telling people what they need to do so they can get on. So it's just, it's crazy how much growth there's been and how much change. And,
not to interrupt the flow of your story, but how does that feel to you? I've been thinking a lot about you as you're giving us updates in the Expansive Artists, and I really do want to acknowledge you, because not a lot of people just grab hold and move at the speed with which you are moving and, you know, embrace these changes. I mean, you're not alone. There are so many people who just learned about Zoom this year, even just a few months ago, obviously. And you haven't backed down from any of this. You have embraced it and stayed open and been really brave with that. So how is all of that feeling to you? And then I want to invite you back to the how your story of coming online started.
So it's very empowering, because it feels kind of like I just jumped and went with it full force. There was like no stopping or anything else. I just went. I find that lots of times I seem to take the difficult route. So when I went to school, I went through, when I was going to college, I took this whole 20-year path to get my degree. And in the last year, I needed to jump full force and take 9 classes in one semester because I needed to get where I was going and I needed to be there now. And I think that's kind of where this whole COVID-19 kind of pushed me into, okay, you need to take action now and you need to move forward and get where you're going. But that has been very empowering to be able to see that I've been able to do it. And just, you know, it's possible. It's not impossible. It really is possible. You just have to put the time and the work into it and really just know that you're going to do it and push. And I think that's what I've done. Now I've got people hammering, so hopefully we're not going to hear hammering.
We're recording this on video, so hopefully this will also go out as a video. But for our podcast listeners, Sarah is currently outside. We'll definitely get a screenshot of us too, so you can see her beautiful art in her background. And just, oh, you have parakeets nearby and construction. This is just life today.
It's life today. We're just setting up where we can and just,
yes, my mom helped. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. We're going for it. So come back to how this happened. So you're teaching in person, and then all of a sudden you're not teaching in person. And so how do you decide that online is a path you want to pursue?
Well, it kind of came out of necessity because I'm teaching in person and then I'm not teaching in person and I don't know what's going to happen and I have no clue. And I had been, I don't even know what it was, but it was something through the Expansive Artist or whatever that you had said, you got to go online, you got to go online. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know how to go online. And then my school says, we would really like you to record something. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to record anything. But I finally worked up the nerve to record something. And that was what ended up saving that portion of my job. At least I got paid for another month because I was able to record videos. And they were impressed that I was able to pivot and do something that I didn't feel comfortable doing. So, I mean, it was really impressed them. And yeah, so it just, I'm losing train of thought, but they were impressed that I was able to, you know, shift and make it happen. And then I had videos for the kids. And then it was really weird because I started these videos and I would, when I first started doing videos for the kids, they weren't live. So I was recording and I would record and I would stop in the middle of recordings, and it would take me so long just to do a 30-minute lesson because I would stop at like 15 times in just the beginning of a recording. And then by the end of that first month, I wasn't stopping anymore. So I was able just to do a recording, and if I made a mistake, I just went with it and went with the flow and wasn't worried about it anymore. And now I go live. So that's a whole different thing. There's no stopping the button on that.
There's no, well, technically there is. It's always nice to know you can press stop, but yes, it's so, that's a really big transformation. That's something that sometimes has taken people years to get up the courage to do. And while we don't recommend this, right, Sarah, it's super uncomfortable to have your feet to the fire and have to make a decision. I mean, I've shared that that's how I started this business. I'm like, whoops, I've run out of savings and people won't hire me because I'm too entrepreneurial. I think I have to make this work. And I just was willing to stick with it until it worked. And it's very good motivation, but it is not recommended. And then simultaneously, though, sometimes things come up in life. It's not recommended to have that as your motivation, but when things come up that are so out of our control, like this year in so many ways, you know, what do you choose to do with that? Everybody has a choice. You could have in that moment said, I don't want to be on video, and then just believed that decision and just made that decision. And that might have, like you said, cost you your job and kept you from opening up this entirely new avenue of income and possibility that is not only, like, to me, this is the most beautiful, the most beautiful part of being online is that you're also impacting the people that you're teaching and being able to reach people beyond where you were at the time, which was teaching in Arizona, and now you're back in California. And it's just, I know we'll go into more of that story because I love seeing when you post the students who are being impacted by what you're sharing, your creativity and the families. And so how did that moment of creating the video for school, and I assume it was a teaching video that you made, right? An art teaching.
Yeah.
How did that lead to you wanting to start teaching your own online classes?
So actually, I didn't want to start teaching my own online classes. I didn't know what to do, but I had heard someone say it, and maybe it was you in somewhere, but someone had said, you can use this time and you can like make something of it, this time that, you know, the COVID-19 staying at home, or you can just be in the same place that you were at the beginning of it. So you had the choice to grow or not grow. And you were the one who recommended that I teach online, and I start doing this summer camps I needed to go with what I was already, doing and just push that forward and make that happen. So you were the one who suggested to teach online. And I remember even asking, does it need to be live? Can I just record these? Because if I just record them, I can start over 15 times and I don't have to be live. And you said, no, you really need to do live, because if I was live, there would be a different interactive experience for the kids, and that they would be more apt to do it, because if it's live, people will come. But if you record it, they might decide, oh, I'm not going to do it this week. And then, you know, it's not as big of a deal when it wasn't live. So so I didn't want to do it live. It just came as like a necessity. And I had no idea how to do it. It just had to happen. And that was the other thing. Like when I joined the Expansive Artist, when I made the first payment, I sat on it for like days. Like, now we got a truck. That's a logging truck.
It's okay, Sarah. The sound is good. You're good.
Okay. So I sat on it for days. Do I want to join this? I had just done one of your free, there was some free thing that you could do for, but I don't even know what it was, but I think it was growing your online business. And it was like, do I want to spend this money to join? Because what if I don't make anything? Okay, what if, is this just going to be another thing that I sign up for that's going to be like in 6 months? I'm like, oh, you just wasted all that time because nothing's come of it. Is it going to be the same type of thing repeating itself? Do I really want to spend this money? And then I just told myself, on the last day you could sign up, I signed up and I told myself, I had an alarm set so I wouldn't forget to sign up if I wanted to. But I told myself, okay, you just have to make that amount back. If you can at least make that amount back and not dig into your savings, you can do it. And so that was my first goal with it, was please just let me make this money back. And I've like thousands times made the money back. And that just blows me away on its own that, you know, just by having that guidance and by having, if I didn't have the direction to go teach online, I would have been piddling around making my little birds and trying to sell them for $20 still and with no direction. But because of the direction, I was able to focus and really zoom in on that and just make that happen. It just blows me away to look at April versus now. It's like a total transformation.
Yeah, it blows me away too, Sarah. That's why I had talked to you about, and you sent me a note. I knew you were making progress. You sent me a note in Instagram, and you know, for anyone, I know so many of us have mentors. I have mentors, and sometimes, especially when they have a large following, you think, oh, do they need to know about, you know, my success? Like this other person is doing this, and you realize that any time you can tell someone that they've made a difference for you, you know, whether it's in a paid offering or in a podcast or anything, it is so meaningful. I was so moved by that message. I had no idea that you had joined, you know, feeling like, oh my goodness, this has to work or it doesn't make sense for me. And also were able to increase your revenue by that much. We don't even know the math on it, but I think
I did the math wrong, but
you
it's
were
still
doing
a lot.
32 to, you made 1,000, you were hoping to make the 32, which now the Expansive Artist is not 32 anymore. So no, it's more than that to join, not by much, but it's more than that. So you were hoping to make the 32 and you made 1,000 like within that first month.
Yeah. And then it went to, in about just 6 weeks time, I had made $3,000. So, I mean, it made the difference of when you look at it and you think, this made the difference of, can I buy a bottle of wine and can I buy the chocolate? Because I told my son, when I was telling my son, you really have to watch your money right now because you don't know when you're going to get paid. I mean, everything is so crazy. I said, you can see, I haven't even bought lipstick. I need to buy one now, but I said, I was watching everything so carefully that I was even like, do I want to buy that bottle of wine? I'm going to buy Famous Amos cookies instead of the dollar something store brand. So it was all these little things were such huge deals and such huge wins when it came down to it. And also the other thing was that my goal the whole time was, please just, if I can make it without having to touch my emergency savings. And because of this, I never had to touch my emergency savings. And I still had money and I was still able to buy. I mean, I was being super cheap, but I'm still able to buy the chocolate. I'm able to buy the wine. And my goal right now is to buy like a little vintage camper. So that's my goal. I hope to have that by December. So that's.
You're
going to
do it, Sarah.
I want to live in it. I'm tired of moving. I've moved 23 houses in 26 years, and I seriously just want my stuff. I want the stuff that I love to be in this little camper, and I just pull it where I go because I'm tired of packing up houses. So I want something that I want it to be mine. So this is actually because of the backdrop. I was like, oh, it looks like a tiny house.
It's cute. It's already your vision.
It looks like a little tiny house.
Oh my goodness. There's so much that I want to explore with you there. So what, I know this might, sometimes we don't think about this, but I know I encouraged you, you know, within the Expansive Artists, I've really shifted my focus. Well, it's always been there, but I've just become very clear on helping artists sell online. And I have this whole artful selling process because for me, everything we do, whether it's selling an individual piece of art or we're selling a class or a workshop or we're collaborating for licensing, we're selling ourselves. And if we need to just begin to accept that, I realize we've been circling it for so long. I'm like, no, this is you plus sell equals profitable business. If you take out the sell part, which is many different components, like in your case right now, going on live video and, you know, coming in, even doing a podcast is part of that process. Thoughtfully placing your art in the background is part of, it's all part of that one word. And if you take that out, or we have, you know, a lot of us, I've been one of those people, have issues with that word or just think of it as being salesy and you take that out, you don't get to the other side of that. And so I'm thinking about, you know, in your case, I do remember you coming, and I was moving really fast at that time too. And I had hosted online teaching bootcamp, and I just saw the need for artists right now. Not only our art, because it's so beautiful, I'm like obsessed looking at your art and your background. It's just so joyful and so happy. We need that, and we need any person who has the desire to share their creativity, their creative inspiration, their muse, and invite people to participate. And in your case, it's parents, I mean, it's kids, and then even their parents can join you. And I don't even know how to impress how important it is, but you know this, so many times we've just treated as a secondary priority, not even really like, oh, art's something fun that we'll get to. You know, it's even not even focused on in education primarily. Like, it's this frivolous opportunity to make art. And so I see this time, I saw it like right in that moment, I just thought, and it's still happening for you who are listening, who might be inspired to do something similar to Sarah, especially if you were teaching before online or in person, you know, the opportunity is ripe right now to move forward because we are so hungry for this. And so that's why I saw in you, I just thought, wow, Sarah, if your job is transitioning like this and you need to make money fast, I know you can do it with your art, but the quickest, easiest, I call it because a lot of people I've worked with call it the lowest hanging fruit. Like, don't go make something hard. You mentioned that, because I know that path as well. I've done it. You don't have to pick the hard thing. Like, don't resist what's right in front of you. Get that going, and then, you know, weave in your other offerings or build upon that. And you did that. So what was it in you? You know, you've come back and forth to this opportunity and this world a number of times. Was it really just the pandemic, or are there also shifts in who you are as a person now and where you stand that just made you kind of flip that light switch on and say, I'm going? And then the momentum is really helpful once you get going. It like keeps you going. But was
It's like a snowball.
Yeah. Was there something different for you this time around?
I think it was mostly the pandemic started it off, because I knew that I wanted to have another source of income, but I was okay. I liked my job. I mean, I loved both of my jobs. I loved the school. I loved the kids. It was the first time in a long time I actually felt appreciated for the art teaching I did versus it being not as important of a subject, which really always, like, that just drives me crazy. But it was the first time I really felt good. So I was willing just to keep doing that and just make a little money on the side. I was fine. But the pandemic is what threw it. I realized when I got caught early, I was like, you can't depend on this anymore. And you don't even know where this will be in September. I mean, who knows what'll happen. And I think I just needed the guidance and the push to see the low hanging fruit, because I was looking at the top of the tree and not paying attention to anything that was right in front of my nose to do. And I really needed someone else to see it for me and to help me know that was what, you know, to do. But it was the whole not wanting to be depending on those other sources anymore. And, you know, I would love to get to the place where I don't even need any of them anymore, because I actually found, which I never thought I would like, because I'd looked at online teaching jobs before, and I found that I actually love teaching online, which is something I didn't think I would enjoy. And I've even, you know, turned my nose up to before, because it just, you know, how do you connect with people online? I mean, people do it all the time, but could I really do it through my teaching? And during the summer, I felt I connected more to those kids online than I do in my actual classroom. Like, gives me chills, because I would see 500 kids every 2.5 days. I hate to say it, but a lot of kids, I didn't even remember their names, because it's just, they're in there for 30 minutes, they're out the door, and then the next group comes in. So they don't get that personal connection. But these kids, I know, like, their brother's name. Their brother's not even taking the class, but I know their brother's name. He hops on to say hi. I know the moms. The moms come in and create with us. I mean, there's a personal connection that I would never make in my classroom that's being able to be made in these online groups. And we're also doing the amount of art we're doing, like, just in the online summer camp. In 2 weeks of online summer camp, we did more art than I'll do in a whole year in a classroom, because you're not having to wait for everyone to get quiet. You're not having to set up. They're already set up for you. The kids are already set up. We're just able to fly through and do these projects and do better things than I could do in my classroom, because it was a smaller group with more focus, and it's just different. That was another thing. I was like, oh my gosh, in 2 weeks I did more art than I would do in a whole year with a group. So yeah, they're getting a lot.
It's incredible. This is like,
yeah,
this is, I just don't even know what to say. I'm like speechless, because this will change the impact of art and creativity in a way that we couldn't have anticipated. For the same reason that you're saying, I mean, you're not alone in saying, I didn't want to teach online, because you didn't realize it. You didn't realize that you could have this kind of impact through this box, you know, and through being willing to, which really, Sarah, is it, truly that much different than being in, I mean, in terms of, I don't want to say being in person is its own element and being online is its own element, but in terms of it's, you know, people get intimidated by going live, I'm putting air quotes, but really you're just teaching through a an online box. It's the same as teaching in person when you're already teaching. So it's really not as scary as it seems, right? It's just that we kind of build it up in our mind because there's a camera and there's a microphone. And so it feels like, ooh, we're on a performance. But when you walk into your classroom, you're not thinking about it in the same way.
Yeah, because you're on a performance in there too.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy to think that, like, no, it's not a big deal to be online. It's really no different than if my face was in the classroom. And that was actually something I had looked at because in our education, they talk a lot about flipping the classroom, and that's where you make videos of the steps of an art project. So that way you play the video while you're able to be another person and set up at the same time. So the kids are watching the video of you creating or doing the thing while you're getting out the water and the paints and everything else. And I thought, well, that would be really cool to do, but I don't know how to do video. So I'm not going to, you know, it's just, I'm like, who was that person? Who was that person in February? I don't know how to do video. So that's not happening. Now I'm like, now it's like, well, I don't know how to do that yet, but I'm going to figure it out because, like I said, if I could go, I would love just to make it to the point where I could just fully go online and be virtual and be able to be anywhere. And I know there's people who do it, so I know it's possible. It's just a matter of putting the time and the effort and the work into it. And yeah, without teaching, now I'm not teaching full time. So I have time to make those things happen.
Yes. And you're going to have that camper. There's someone I know who launched a whole membership doing homeschooling before the pandemic. I'm sure she's blown up even further. And that's she and her family got a camper and are traveling around because now it's so much easier. A lot of people there's just so much opportunity and possibilities that we're going to see that we didn't before. You know, what if you are glad that you're homeschooling your children and you can go in a camper and travel and experience the world, at least a little bit when we come back. But a camper was the one thing that some people could travel with this summer in particular. And so a lot of times you realize that I'm coming up with a weird analogy, metaphor, but the fear of being in this box, you know, I'm calling us a box because our screens are our boxes, this online box, that fear actually puts you in another box, like holding on to these ideas of how things should be and deciding that, again, art is maybe secondary to other subjects in school. And in order to have the highest impact, we must be in a classroom with our teachers and we must do it on this schedule. Like realizing that all of these ideas, or I'm a person who's not comfortable on camera, even though I'm in front of students every day, I'm not comfortable on camera. We just start to let all of these ideas crumble away. And then what is beneath that is so exciting and so inspiring. And again, I don't wish that it came about in such a drastic, very intense, that we're still in kind of fashion, but you really did make the best of it. And I want to come back. I love how this story is unfolding. So you make this class for your school, and I say to you, in not so many words, Sarah, get on it. You can do this. And so what was your first step of okay, and also thanks for trusting me. A lot of times, and this happens to all of us, this is not a judgment, because you can only hear, that's why I'm inviting you and asking you questions to dig a little bit deeper, because people can know this intellectually, but it's still different from from knowing that that could be a good idea, like you said in February, knowing it could be a good idea, but going, nope, not going to do it. And in your case, you're like, you know what? I've kind of been forced into it and I'm going to still embrace it. Because some people still won't. They will be forced in and it will get harder and more uncomfortable and they won't. But you said, yes, I'm going to do this. So thanks for listening, because a lot of times we invest in people. I have done this, not anymore. It's like been a big turning point for me. We invest in them, but then we still think we know better. Like, why did we bother investing? You know, why not at least be open to the ideas that the person that we claim to trust to get guidance from, why not actually listen to them? They might know something about what they're teaching. And so I thank you for just tuning into that. I've done it as well, because remembering now, it was a financial advisor I was working with my books, and she just goes, here, focus on your lowest hanging fruit. What is that? Let's look at your numbers and see what it is. Because it's the same for creating product. A lot of times as artists, we get excited by so many different products.
Oh, yes.
Forget to look at what's actually profitable. And you can still decide to do something else, but just knowing why you're doing what you're doing. So before I go on too long of an inspired tangent. So you make this decision, you decide to go live, even though it makes you uncomfortable. So what happens next?
Well, I still thought, I mean, I wasn't sold that something was going to happen. I was just doing everything I could at the time to try to make something happen, but still there was so much doubt in my head. It's like, you know, this hasn't been successful before. Well, then I have to tell myself, well, you haven't tried this way before. You know, sometimes you think something's not going to, it's really weird how you can think that something's not going to be successful. And you think that you somehow in your brain, you're able to make it like you've tried it before. And really you've never even tried it that way. So it's like something totally different. And there's a lot of doubt that creeps in, and it can really be crippling if you just let it sit there. And I think it was because of necessity, I was just able to push it out. And once things started, it was kind of like it snowballed, because once I had one win, it just led to wanting to try it more and more and more. And, I forget what the original question was, because I'm going off on the whole.
You have your own inspired tangents. That's what these are for. No, it's great. But Sarah, you are speaking to everything that everybody feels. Everybody feels it. You know, everyone has self-doubt. I mean, how do you start something and be new at something and not have that, or have imposter syndrome? You know, like, what am I doing? I mean, you're a teacher and you're still questioning if this is the right move for you to teach. There are a lot of people who don't have the experience you have, who we understandably, I was one of those people, are like, wait a minute, should I be teaching people? Can I be good at this? But you still get to try. Like what you said is you are willing to try, and you're speaking to, I know this is going to help so many people, because you're speaking to what comes up all the time. And this is not a time in history where we can give into that anymore. We can't.
Yeah.
Because the people on the other side of what you have to offer, they're really thankful to have you, right?
Oh my gosh. I've gotten cards in the mail. Someone sent me a card. Actually, so now I remember the thing you asked. But the first thing I started online was a friend asked me to do this mini retreat, because so it doesn't even have to do with kids classes, but she asked me to do this mini retreat because she felt that they needed something to take their mind off of COVID-19, and they wanted to do this mini retreat. And I've taught art for about 14 years with nonprofits and stuff, and I've taught in shelters. And this was one of the activities was one of the types of things I would teach in the shelter. So I was good at it. I already knew how to do it, but she wanted me to go online, and it just freaked me out because I'd never used Zoom except when I couldn't get the audio on. So she wanted me to go online, and that was my first paid thing besides my teaching in a classroom online, but that was my first paid event, was to go online. And they all handed me money to do it. And they all thanked me over and over for doing it. And then I got cards in the mail thanking me. And then they got emails thanking me for doing something comes natural and wasn't a big deal, but scared the heck out of me because I set up Zoom 2 hours before because I was so afraid of it. I had to practice before going online with them. But I would say she believed that I could do it. And she sent, she requested that I teach this thing online and I did it. And that was, I'm like, okay, I'll try. But,
and that was it. That kicked it off.
That was one of the things, but I wouldn't have even done it if you hadn't. That was before, I'm trying to think. That was before I did that. And then you were like, you need to do the kids things online. And I was like, okay. So then I did the kids classes. But I mean, the parents are I keep getting these messages. I'm so glad that my daughter loves working with you and this and that. And the kids sometimes they don't want to leave when the thing's over. They just want to hang out. It's nice to feel like it really makes that it matters. And I didn't think it could. I didn't think it would. I didn't think it could. And I don't know why I would even think that because I joined that in the fishbowl thing.
That was years ago. That was years ago, right? Were you in the first, second? I think I did three.
Yeah.
Were you in the very first one?
The very first one because and I knew you could make connections with people online, but I guess for some reason that doubt that I could make a connection with someone online, but it's just amazing because you just don't realize like how big of a deal it is, and it really is. Yeah,
it really is. I know. I can't wait for this episode to go live because you're gonna impact more people by what you're so openly sharing. I just think we can't hear enough stories right now. We can't make enough art. We can't see and enjoy enough art. And we can't hear enough stories about people taking this time and choosing something positive with it, and being brave in the process. And it sounds like when you come up against those really like normal human qualities, you just decide that you're not going to give in to it this time, right? Is it really becoming that simple for you where you're like, nope, not going to give in to it this time?
It is now. It hasn't before because before there was a lot of doubt. When I first joined the Expansive Artist, I even questioned, and it's crazy when I think of it now, but I don't know what was going through my head at that time. Because I even questioned, should I even be trying to do this anymore? Because, there was just so much crazy stuff going on. And I questioned my teaching. I questioned everything. And looking at it now, I'm like, why was I even doing that? I have been teaching for 14 years. I've taught with nonprofits. I've taught in shelters, group homes. I've worked with youth that have been trafficked and just homeless families, a lot of different organizations and a lot of different programs. And I had the ability, it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz with those shoes, and I think I threw mine out that I made, but the little red shoes that you click, it's always been there. And it's like, but there was still that doubt that crept in. And I think that doubt's gone now. I think I've like pushed it away. I think it's out of there. And yes. I think it's coming back. Because I just got, just before I left Arizona, I had gotten the night before a Girl Scout troop. The leader came and picked up a whole packet of some Halloween party kit that I made. And it has wooden pumpkins they get to paint. And then they're going to get to paint these fall pumpkin jack-o'-lanterns with hats on them for a party in October. And that's all going to be live. I mean, not live, online. It's all going to be on Zoom live. But that's another thing. And then I'm also working with a house for women who I think it's like a recovery house. So if they have been on drugs or alcohol or whatever, and they have all the kits at their house, and I'm going to be doing a session for them too, a fall painting. So this will be, I'll be doing it from California and they're in Arizona. And it's just, you know, I just something I wouldn't have ever thought about doing before.
That just gave me chills. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I love working with those groups. I find that working, like, I love teaching art, but when I can teach with the most at-risk groups, that's where, like, my biggest goal when I first went to Arizona, when I came to California, I had more stuff than I had when I went to Arizona. When I went to Arizona, at that time, that was 6 years ago, my self-confidence was so low. I didn't even think that McDonald's would want to hire me. I mean, I just, my confidence was so low at that time. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my art and I'm going to make something happen. And I was like, I want to work with the most at-risk groups I can work with. And I got connected with someone and I went into a group home that was for teens who had been trafficked. And just seeing how powerful art could be in that environment just inspired me to keep wanting to do more. And then I worked with, that's when I started working with homeless families. And then I was looking at teaching in juvenile detention center. And then I decided, okay, I need to get my degree because lots of times that's what holds you from being able to do one thing is not having that, you know, that degree and that piece of paper. So once I got that, then I was able to even move further. So even though like my ultimate goal would be to be teaching privately on my own now online, which is really weird, but to be teaching privately on my own online, it's all those past experiences that have really, you know, given me the skills that I'm able to take this and move it in all different directions. Like, you know, to be able to work with so many different populations and yeah. So I'm looking at that. That's on my list of things to do is find a way to get some type of sponsorship where I can do an art program through these shelters through Zoom and provide them with the art kits at no charge, but still be able to pay myself to do it. So I'm not sure how that looks, but it's on my list. It's in my book. I have a notebook that just keeps filling up. And that's one of them is because, you know, these families that are paying me right now, they have the ability to pay me, but not everybody has the ability to pay. And I'd love to be able to offer the same type of experience to someone who, you know, doesn't have the means for it, where I know it can, it just makes such a big difference. There's so much you can do with art.
Sarah, I am so excited for you. I'm just like listening to you going, this is amazing. I want to help you. I hope that, well, we're just going to put the intention out that this podcast will travel and that someone will hear this. I too have thought about doing the same thing around business and creativity and going into places where I could work to empower people to feel like it's possible, you know, to build something for themselves. So it just really touches my heart because I think about that a lot. Like, how can I take the work I'm doing now that I've also committed to it at a different level and been braver myself and rediscovered my own confidence in this space again? And just like, how can I then once you, it's like you've broken through a barrier because once you do realize, you know, I've heard this for a while on that intellectual level too, like, and I've shared it in videos. It's not that you're going live for you. It's not about you. It's for the other person on the other side of the screen or in the classroom or who is looking at your art that day. It's for them. And so when you like genuinely break through that barrier, everything changes because you stop caring about whether you have just the right whatever going on to do this. And you know that it's going to help someone that day and you've witnessed it. This is just a really specific question, but I've wondered like, what is it that you see when you work with someone like the teens you're talking about, someone in a really, really challenging, heartbreaking position in life, what do you see when you bring art to them? What happens?
It really empowers them. And, you know, I think it gives them hope. And I think if I had just gone in and just taught art and not shared my story, but the big thing is sharing your story and then doing the art through story. So I think that's like the biggest thing, because, you know, when I would go in and tell those teens, so we did lots of art journaling type of projects and lots of, you know, collage and using all kinds of different things so that they really got to be expressive with their art. And even though we would be doing a certain project, there were so many different ways you could go. And to go into those places and tell them, you know, like, I left a really bad relationship. When I left that relationship, I never thought I'd be here. I was told I couldn't do this. I was told, you'll never be able to teach art. You can't do that. You can't do that. And, you know, by the time I left, you know, listening to so much of that, you start to believe it, to the point of you thinking, well, do you think McDonald's would hire me? Well, they hire teenagers. I think they would at least hire someone who's 30 something that, like, I'm responsible. I think that, well, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't. And just to have so much doubt, and, you know, the kids could connect, they're like, wow, you like felt, yeah, I felt that way. And yeah, you know, I've been hurt, and words hurt a lot. And, you know, I've been in a place where I didn't function very well because of, you know, just how much, you know, leaving a bad relationship and, you know, going through all that really affects you mentally. And being able to share that and create art and share an experience and connect with those teens, you know, the kids, I was riding the bus in Arizona. I love to ride the bus. I don't know. I just absolutely love riding public transportation. So I was riding the bus, and I was in, there was a kid in a shelter on the bus, and they recognized me. And I had made these little tiny things. I don't know where they're at, but they said things like, there's nothing wrong with you. She is good enough right now, as is, absolutely positive about that, little sayings. And I taught that in the shelter, and I had them hanging. I told them, when I made these for me, because in order to get out of bed in the morning, I had to see those hanging on my wall and read them like 100 times. And then I would get up and say, okay, I can do this. I can do it. Something, you know, I'm going to be able to do something someday. And I would get up and I would, you know, make it happen. And so one of the girls was on the bus, and she says, remember you taught art when I stayed at that place. She didn't want the other kids to know what the place was. So when I said, oh, she goes, I still have your magnets. They're on my fridge. They're on my fridge. And I have the art. I have chills right now. I have the art that we made in the class, and I have it hanging on my fridge at my new place, because she transitioned from that shelter. She aged out, and she was now in like a group, you know, like a group home type setting for 18 plus, that, you know, they kind of assist them and help them out because they don't have any family or anything. But just to hear, I'm like getting chills again, just to hear that those are all on her fridge, and she remembered it, and she remembered what it says, because she goes, I read it every day. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, I said, you remember the story, right? I made those for me because I needed them just to be able to function. So I think, like, when you share your story and you teach your art, it makes you let, you know, you be vulnerable, and you let people in, and they see you as a real person and true. And, you know, that it wasn't that easy for you either. And until I shared my story with those girls, when I first was teaching in the home, they, you know, they just write me off. They thought I lived in North Scottsdale, where, you know, it's all fancy and I have all this stuff. They, oh, you're riding the bus? You ride the bus to come here? It was like little bits they'd hear. And then when I told the story and shared that art project, it clicked and they treated me completely different. Like I wasn't just this lady from this ritzy area coming there and teaching art just, you know, to do it. They were like, wow, she rides the bus here. How long does it take you on the bus? Oh, an hour and a half. It's like, I said, I love doing it. It didn't bother me. I'm like, it doesn't bother me. And it was, you know, I became a different person to them. And yeah, but it just amazing what we could do and amazing the connections made. And, you know, just to hear that that art's still hanging on the fridge. Yeah. I mean, that was 4 years later. It was still hanging on her fridge. So, yeah.
And yeah, that. Thank you for sharing, Sarah. That's a really beautiful story. And if that's not a reason for every person to go out and be themselves and do what they do, and like you said, have a willingness to be open and vulnerable, and that's where you went through, you know, losing confidence and finding it again, and you did it, and that's a powerful transformation in itself. And when I listen to more of your story and get invited into hearing how more of this came to be, it is a reminder that it's okay. Like I hesitate to say, oh, things take time, but sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't have to. It's really just when we're ready, and realizing that every single step that you go through, even the challenging points of like losing confidence and finding it again, and choosing again to not go inward on that and shut down, but to like reach out and transform the life of someone else or touch the life of somebody else. Listening to you, it's like all these stepping stones that since we first got connected in 2008 have brought you here. And that's where I get so excited for you, because it hit a point where all of that brought you to be ready at the exact moment that the world needed you to be ready.
Oh, that gives me the chills.
Yeah. So, and it's okay that it wasn't any sooner, because this is the right time. You know, it's allowing, because with art and creativity and so much, you know, in life, we want everything to be in these like perfect formulas. And yeah, I'm making making this box shape. I'm all about the box metaphor today, but I'm making this square shape with my hands of, you know, we do this, then we do this, and this happens in this timeline. And I think I also, you know, project a little excitement on you, because I see the same thing happening for me of being ready at a time where the world really needs me to be ready. But having gone through my own journey, even since the time that we first connected, of really like losing confidence and second guessing myself. And like I had reached a certain level of success, and then I was faltering and making not wise business decisions that kind of backed me into a corner, and then going through my own fertility journey that I've talked about on this podcast, and just what that took for my own psyche, and just so many little factors. And even saying that I would not teach online anymore, like after In the Fishbowl, like I still can't believe that I had that conversation not that long ago in this studio and said, no, people who want me to teach under your umbrella, I will not sign an agreement that says I won't teach on my own. Like, why would I ever do that? I did that before I met you, but I'd be willing to collaborate with you. And ultimately that was the breaking point, that I didn't make that decision. And what if I had, and I wasn't teaching on my own, and I didn't have the expansive artists, and I wasn't here back with the podcast for all of that. Like, it's none of what I'm experiencing now, much like you, I'm guessing, would feel so rich and fulfilling if you hadn't kind of felt the reverse of that, or had that opportunity where the window opened and you let it close again, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like
how many times? I don't know.
I know. Well, but the part that I want to reassure people with is, it's really okay. You know, like the window will open again or the door will open again. It will come again. If you can hear this and listen to both of our stories, especially Sarah's right now, and know, pay attention, you know, when the door opens. And if you can kind of step outside of yourself and your own fears and walk through, then you'll save yourself a little time, you know? And if you don't, it will come back again. So just look for it and just do the thing. Do whatever Sarah's doing. just decide. Don't wait for a pandemic. Although wait, it's still here. Just decide, you know, that now's the time that you're gonna walk through. It's really, and then allow momentum and support to come on your side. You know, I appreciate you saying this, and I see it for myself with my mentors and even people I have the opportunity to work with who will ask me to do things, and I'll listen now. I won't be like, oh, no, I have my own idea about what I'm supposed to do. It's like, what do you need? What can I help you with? And let me see if I can create that. Let me listen. Is that many times people see out the people who are just outside of us, but close enough to us to be trusted to, you know, give us some guidance or observation, we see what's in front of you. It's like, it's kind of amazing, but we need that sometimes. And same thing. So I could see it clear as day. I'm like, why don't you do this? And I've seen it for other people.
That's crazy.
And they don't listen, and that's okay. I mean, it may not call you either. Like, it has to call you. This isn't like trying to squeeze yourself, again, with the box metaphor. This isn't trying to squeeze yourself into a box that you don't want because, oh, it worked for Sarah or it worked for Marisa or someone else. You have to want it, and that will help you get through the step beyond walking through the door. You have to want it as well. But to have, it's to surround yourself with people that might be able to see that on your behalf. It's very odd how the human psyche, it either wants to make it harder than it needs to be, or I'm coming to learn more about this now, like fears that we have even on success. Like, well, if this comes easy and it works, then what? You know, Sarah, what if we're here a year later and you are serving 1,000 people, or, you know, like you have a sponsor and you have contracts making this impact. Like, this is the thing about today, putting the time conversation into its own box, if you will. The thing about today is that it can go super fast, like super fast. If you know what you want to do and you want to target it and you have like, look at all these vehicles that we can put it out there and get it to the right people, unlike a time I've ever lived in before, we may very well be having that conversation in a year of like, how are you impacting people? And I'm excited. I'm personally really excited for that conversation. And just when you were talking about going back and getting a degree, what was it, the degree that you did get in terms of just helping you teach at an even higher level? Did you go for a master's or what was that?
No, I had been working on I was on what I call the 20-year plan for my bachelor's degree. So you start going to college when you, you know, you graduate and you take a few classes. Then I joined the military and I took a few more, and then I took a break, and then I took a few more, and then I took a break. And I started taking these classes. I remember I was taking this class where we were making Play-Doh, and we were making like Play-Doh that you could eat. So if you were working with little kids and they ate the Play-Doh, it wasn't a problem, like peanut butter Play-Doh or different Play-Dohs. And I remember someone saying, what are you going to do with that? What is that? What are you going to do with this type of degree? And I'm like, well, you teach kids with it. And it was like, because here we were doing coloring projects and finger painting in class and doing all this stuff. And then I found that I really enjoyed those classes, and I kept taking more and kept taking more. And then I was like, well, maybe I want to teach. So eventually I got to, for 10 years, I sat at a point where I was 10 classes from finishing my degree, but never finished it because of, oh, well, I'm afraid of how much it's going to cost. I don't know how much I'm going to pay for it. I don't want to take that writing class because I don't like to write. And I end up getting like a 99.9 in a writing class. But it was all of these little stupid things that just held me back from finishing that. And once I finished it, what it allowed me to do in Arizona, because I had taken enough art classes, I was highly qualified to teach art. But before that, I wasn't highly qualified because I needed the piece of paper to actually be able to go into the school and teach there. So my degree's in education, and I think I have like 50 units in art. I don't know, some large amount of number in art. And then it's in career and technical education. So I can teach, I can work with people to teach them how to work in careers. And, when I looked at it, I was like, I went that way because I just wanted to be done. It was the fastest route, the career and technical education. But when I look at like the work I did at the shelters and in the group homes and stuff, that would easily be able to guide into working with like some type of art where you're working with visions and goals and looking at careers and, you know, incorporating art with, I don't know what the, I'm trying to think like college and career readiness. So incorporating art, probably art journaling and vision boards and, you know, yeah, collage and that type of thing.
Because it sounds like, ooh, I have an idea for us, Sarah. I will tell you.
I'm like, that's what I just.
I'm like, wait a second. Now I have.
I love that type of stuff. And I have a box. I did a box. It's called It's My Story. And the whole box is all themed around your goals, your life, the things you want to do in the future. And there are all these art projects, and it's so painting, gluing, cutting, using glitter. I mean, doing all this crazy stuff with art supplies, but the focus is on where you want to go with your life and what you want to do. And I think that's where my story also feeds into that, because, you know, I've been at the low place where, you know, I didn't think I could do anything. You're like, get that emotionally screwed up from, you know, from other people and life in general. And, you know, you get getting knocked down and keep getting knocked down, and then you just have to keep getting up, you know, and that's now. But I found that the thing is through, I hate selling art. Like, I can't stand selling art. I don't know what it is about it. I just don't like it. I used to stand out on a corner in this same town that I'm in right now. And I used to set up in front of a bookstore with my art on a table. And I'd sit out there all day and try to sell it. And it just, I was like, I told my artist friend, I said, I can't stand selling art. Like, I don't like it. I just want to teach. I don't like selling art. And what I found is I have to teach. Like, that is what not only was making the money during the pandemic, but being able to do what I feel I have to do. Like, I feel I have to teach. Like, I couldn't just take a management job at a store because it just wouldn't, I don't, it would not fulfill the purpose that I feel I need to teach. So when I was teaching during the pandemic, that kept me going because I was doing what I love to do and what I felt I needed to do. And if I hadn't have done that, I don't know. I mean, it would have been really easy to get depressed and get down. But I looked so forward to, even though it was only an hour and a half that day, it was such a big deal. It was such a big deal to go on there and teach. And I just had to do it. So like for me now, selling that is not an issue. Because, you know, I'm
really aligned with that.
I'm aligned with it. But if I was trying to sell just my art, I don't connect with it in that way. I just, it's, yeah. So
well,
I feel
you
like
know I'm
that's
looking
the
at the art behind you. And I'm like, Sarah, you're gonna sell it. You're gonna transform that into cards. And can you imagine how cool that would be to have those available for your students, or even to be gifting them to your new members? I'm like getting all these ideas. Like your art is
going some
to
stuff.
Your art's coming back, girl. You're going to take this confidence and you're going
to
weave it.
I have to make someone else do that. That's where I'll hire my son. He'll have to do all that type
of stuff. It's going to feel very easy. That's why the lowest hanging fruit, because one will just dovetail right into the other. They're not mutually exclusive, and you're going to be able to take that joy and the way that you feel about this kind of selling and move it into that, because you're already doing it too. I love that you instantly were like, I'm going to do kits. Here we go. We're doing kits. And that is really fun when I've had workshops to be able to include like one of my pins or some of my cards in the workshop kit. Super fun. It's just, you know, it all works out so well. And so many of my members or students, and they're my art collectors too. I mean, that's how it all started for me. It was the reverse. And now I'm at a place where I don't want to live without either one. So I was like the complete opposite of you. I thought, gosh, selling art does feel challenging, especially in the beginning. It can, as you find your voice and you find your way with it. And we've all stood at those tables like, not liking it. That's what I'm here to transform that part on.
Like,
I know that feeling. Oh my goodness. That's why I loved going online. I just thought, oh, this is so great. I don't see if anyone doesn't like it. I just see if they like it because they bought it. So you sort of find your way, and I found my way with it. And then I thought, oh, I just don't want to sell a class. I don't know if you know my hashtag from The Expansive Artist. I made it a little while back. I don't want to is for any of those times that we say that and we know that we actually do want to, we just want to get better at it. So once you tap into one area, like the lowest hanging fruit, then that will automatically go out into other areas. It will feel easy, and that will happen for you too. So I'm very excited. And I want to slowly just bring this conversation to a close. And when I do want to touch back on this, because it was originally one of the ideas I was telling you, I'd love for us to talk about this. And I love getting your story. It's so wonderful. Because I just put this podcast up last week, episode number 202, about like what, looking back now, what really cost me in my business, besides just fear, self-doubt, that I don't want to sell this or do that, not investing in myself, and you know, having those same concerns, like being kind of skeptical and stubborn, like, is this really going to help me? And it's interesting that you shared that story with me at the same time that I made a shift in the way I invest in mentors also. And I do want to add, for all of us who go through working with different mentors, it's the same as the story of life. You know, I'd love to just take credit for all of this, Sarah. I'd love to just be like, I helped her. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not just me. It's like everything that gets you there. Just like for me, I've had turning points with certain mentors, and I am super thankful that it happened, you know, with them. But I also see how every person I've learned from, so every investment you make, whether it turned out the way you thought it should or didn't, all contributes first and foremost. And if I had known that and had a little bit better attitude and been more open, and also had this attitude of, you know, someone was telling me, one of my mentors was saying, I look for one big idea in an investment, one big idea. Like, it's not about consuming every lesson. It's not about being on every live call. It's not about, you know, being able to reply to every comment. Like, every one of us want you working on your business. And it's more about, if I invest in this, is it going to give me one big idea that will pay for itself? Great, break even. Okay, fine. That's worth it in itself. But then increase it. So I had someone talk about the big idea, and then I had another mentor say, when you go into an investment, I want you to think about 10xing it. And I thought, what a difference that is. And that's where I told you in The Expansive Artist, I brought that right into The Expansive Artist. And I said, all right, everyone, I want you, using Sarah as an example, I want you to start thinking of And as I open the doors again, I want to invite people to come in with that attitude of, you know, I've heard a lot of people in the past be like, oh, you know, this just isn't something in my budget. And I thought, oh, where did I make a very big, like, miss an important point of this is supposed to help you increase your budget. Like, this is here to help you make money. Like, we're here to help you do that. This isn't about like dabbling in your hobby. I take this very seriously. And if I ask you on some level, you know, I can't do it for you. Obviously, I'm here to guide you. You've got to do that part yourself. But when you come in saying what you did and having the results, and I just recently did it with a program I knew I was going to invest in. And I went in saying, I'm going to make this money back. And I made it before I paid for the program in full. Like, it worked. So there is something, a little bit of a shift of, and listening to you talk about vision boards and, you know, the work that you do through your art. So I'm so excited to learn more about this, to make, set an intention. I think a lot of times we think, oh, it does it really work? But it really does. You know, when you have the camper goal, or you go into a program, I recommend this for everyone, and say, all right, I want to make this money back at least, but I don't even say that anymore. Can you more than double it? You know, can you 10x it? Like, pick a number that feels doable for you to go.
So, like, the new goal is 100 times it, because,
oh,
like,
my gosh, Sarah just
moved. I'm trying to think. I know. I said before, I said 1,000 times it, because I'm not good at math. That's not where my brain's at. But I'm like, okay, let's see. In the first 6 weeks, I made over $3,000. So that is 100 times it. 100 times it in the first 6 weeks. And that really bad goal of making the money back is, like, kind of really bad and ridiculous, because 100 times it, and now I've done way more than that. So,
yeah. Yeah, if you 100,000, no, were you saying 100,000? That's 3.2 million.
No, not 100,000. First I said thousands it.
Okay.
And then I was thousands is like 32,000.
But right. You know, so
that'll be next year's goal.
So then it's 10,000.
Right. 100,000? No. I think 100 times it would be 3,200, right?
Let's see.
I'm not a math person. I don't even have
to take
the math test.
No, 320,000 if you 100 times it.
Oh, okay. Well, math is not my thing. I should stop with
that. That's a nice start.
Okay, sorry. No, I made 3,000, so whatever that is.
Oh, no, wait. I take that back. No, 100 times it is
3,200, right?
3,200. See, and yeah, I need to use the calculator, but 100,000 times it is 30.
I don't like math. Math makes me cry. And you know what? I tried really hard to learn math, just so I could teach in a different area. And I'm like, I don't want to take that math test. It's not for me. So no, but 100 times. Yeah. So the goal next year will be, we'll see. Shoot for
100,000 times.
I don't want to do that math, but
the other point of this is that, well, now it's 320,000. The other point of this is, A, we'll let the people who are math whizzes focus on their math.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
The other, I was actually pretty good in calculus, but I still like my calculator. The point of this is, it starts to open your mind, doesn't it? And FYI, a lot of what you can invest in is ultimately very affordable. Like, it's really doable. Like, the numbers add up very quick. And this becomes super powerful when you're investing in, you know, several $1,000 programs. It goes very fast. But you realize, wow, that is really doable. And when you, so it does two things. It makes it more accessible for you. Like, what, it starts to teach your mind, because I'm learning more about our subconscious mind. And when we ask it questions of how to do this for us, it's like a computer, and it will go to work on it. When we start to say, I don't think this is possible, our brain kind of believes us. So when we say, this is possible for me, I don't have to have all the answers. That's okay. Allow your brain and allow the journey to reveal that to you. but set yourself up for the success by saying, I believe this is possible for me to make this money back. And you did. And then you showed yourself that it was possible to multi-exit.
Yeah, back. That's what we'll use, multi-exit from now on.
Multi-exit, you put whatever multiples you want on there. Everybody has different ideas of what they want or need at any given time. And then you, and now you're like, wow, I showed myself I could do that. What if I took this further? And then it becomes this momentum and this snowball, and it helps you go into a program or work with a mentor. And you're ready, like you're ready to take action. It's an entirely different attitude than this. Well, I sure hope this person's going to be able to help me get what I need. And I don't know if it'll work, but I guess I'll roll the dice. You know, it's just such a different attitude. And there's going to be a podcast coming about how we learn in today's space, because there are a lot of choices and a lot of options and like how to even choose that. But so much of it is the attitude with which we arrive to these experiences that are really going to inform where we go next. So on that note, I am thankful that you jumped in. I will make it very clear that that's what I want for my artist. Sarah will be a new poster child, like look what's possible. And she's just getting started. So tell us, I know you're getting ready to launch a program at the time of this podcast going up. So first give me an overall website for your new sponsors to find you and your new students and families who want to be creative with you. Where's the main website and Instagram handle that they can find you, and Facebook as well? And then I will drop those links in the show notes, and you're going to have a wait list for a new camp that you're opening like within the week of the time of this recording. So we'll get that up there too. But where can everyone find you, Sarah?
So right now you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Sarah Elise Kelly. It's just all one word. And then I'm working on the website right now. So that should be going later tonight. That's my son's job. So
we Sarah want to give Elise a shout Kelly. Out to your son. He's helping you.
He helps with a lot of the computer stuff. That's not my specialty either, but he helps with a lot of it. And I started a fall art program that was 12 weeks, and I'm going to be letting new people join in October. So they'll get to join for the last 8 weeks. And we have a lot of really fun fall projects and holiday projects, and it's twice a week. So the kids, right now I have a 4th through 8th grade group, and I'm going to be adding another younger kids group. And every week we do something once a week during the week. And then on Saturday we have another session, and there's all kinds of stuff. Like we're going to be doing the art that's, you can't see it, but there's art behind me. And then we do some gift making and lots of little, like we just did a 100 color challenge where we learned how to mix 100 different colors just from the primaries and black and white. So we'll be doing a lot of that stuff. And then I'm also going to be having for the end of November through December, there's going to be a mini camp. And that's just going to be like a 3-day mini camp online that's going to be all centered around gift making. And it's a holiday gift making mini camp. I can't say it. And there'll be a kit with that and everything. So the kids get to create little gifts to give. And yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. So I'm excited about that. And then I wanted to show you one other thing, but they can't.
Well, we'll have this video.
I was at my traveling because it took 2 days.
Yeah.
This is a drawing I guess I did when I was 5 years old. I was like, wow, I did a good job.
So, you did. I love it.
Because now I'm an art teacher and I know like what good coloring looks like and stuff. So I'm like, oh, wow, I did a really good job. There's no white showing and everything. But my grandma was always like really big on, you know, you have a purpose and this is your purpose, you know, that type of thing. And she was like, Sarah, this is, you know, this was kind of meant to be. That's, you know, it took a circle. I tried to go every other way, join the Navy. I tried to not be me. And in the end, it came back to that's who I am. And that's who I was then. And it's, you know, that's who I am. There's no escaping it. There's no escaping it. So I am glad. Who I am.
I'm so glad you begin. Sometimes that's exactly what we do. We go in the circle. And yes, it's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-E-L-I-S-E, Kelly.
K-E-L-L-Y.
There's always so many different spellings. I just want to
send you the links because yes,
we'll have the links. But if someone is listening and they are like, I'm going to look it up right now, Sarah Elise Kelly, because you know they are. You know they're very excited right now. I know they are. Sarah, I am so, so thankful for you sharing your story today. I'm super thankful to have you in the Expanse of Artists with us. You've been a big inspiration. And I just can't wait to see where all of this is going for you. So we'll have to check in.
Well, thank you for having me. This was, top choices I've made. This was a pivotal moment. If I had not made this choice to join, I don't know what, where I would have went or what I would have done or I don't know. So I see this as pivotal. It was a big step. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad.
So I give you credit. It was a big step.
Well, I take all the credit then. From your grandma, from everyone. Even from myself, who was once a mentor before.
I don't know what I would have done. I mean, just to think, it's like, would I still have been the same person I was in March with all the doubt and everything and just sitting there not knowing what to do? Because I mean, I wasn't employed for a while. So, I mean, this could have all taken a bad step and I never touched my emergency savings and I still have money. So, I mean,
and you're having wine and chocolate
and wine and chocolate and pizza. I mean, so this is good. Yeah, it's really good. Thank you.
And it's only getting better. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, the camper's next.
I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Creative Thursday is recorded by me, Marisa. You can find all things Creative Thursday at creativethursday.com and creativethursdaycourses.com. You can find all things Sarah Kelly at Sarah, S-A-R-A-H-E-L-I-S-E, Sarah Elise Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y. com and at Sarah Elise Kelly on Instagram. And we will be sure to include Sarah's wait list in the show notes as well. If you'd like to learn more about her fall program opening up the week after this episode goes live and all other offerings that she'll have coming up. And yes, if you want to join us in the Expansive Artists, I am opening the doors for the last time in 2020 on Monday, September 28th already? Oh my goodness. Monday, September 28th. Be sure to head over to either of the websites, creativethursday.com, and get on the wait list for the Expansive Artists, and you will be the very first to know when the doors open on Monday. Thank you so much for listening. Wishing you a beautiful, creative week. And until next time, friends.